we commence and start the question and the answer session with Mufti Saab, Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas Saab. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
salam. Jazakumullah for your time, Mufti Saab. It's wonderful speaking to you again. And to the listeners, inshallah, yes, it's a question and the answer session. We're going to be going up to 11 o'clock. If you have any questions, you can SMS us your questions and the telephone number. The SMS number is 082-580-8070. I repeat, the SMS number, it's 082-580-8070. And the number to call, inshallah, is 011-854-1548. And Maulana, inshallah, Maulana Peter Ali will try to direct the questions or put the callers live. Inshallah, they will try that. Mufti Saab, the first question is from a sister. She says, I'd like to impose these questions. The one is the keeping of qada fast on Fridays permissible? If yes, how many fasts should one keep for each fast missed, and how must they be kept? Please explain in detail.
As far as the fasting in on the day of Jummah is concerned, now, as far as that fast is concerned, there is some salam on it, there is some discussion on it, and if a person is not habitual in keeping the fast on a Friday, then the person should not be doing so. And this is so because there is a hadith stating that one should not be fasting on a Friday, obviously because that this is like a Eid day. And you can keep a fast on a Jummah unless when you keep a fast before it or after it. And you should not specify the nights of Jummah for Nafil or the days for fasting unless it falls on the day which you normally keep. This is clear. And the Jummah day is a day of Eid, happiness. So do not fast on your Eid day unless you do so before or after your Eid. That's a hadith from Musnad Ahmad. Now, the prohibition for the above is that it will open the door for extremism. People will fast all the time. And also, this is the Eid of Ahlul Islam. So, if a person is not accustomed to fasting on the what you call Jummah, then he should avoid fasting on Jummah. However, if a person wants to keep the qaza on the Jummah and the day preceding it or after it, it will be permissible.
Alright, JazakAllah Mufti Saab for that explanation. The next question is from the same sister. Due to severe backaches and painful varicose veins on both my calves, can one sit on a chair to perform namaz? Is this permissible?
According to the research done by Darulun Azadwal, that if you want to make the salah sitting, then make the entire salah in the sitting position. And we should respect their research and act accordingly. So if she says she cannot stand and because of valid Shari medical reasons, then it would be permissible for her to sit and perform the salah.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question is, Mufti Saab, clothes rinsed with Stay Soft which contains chemicals, can namaz be read with these clothes? Is this permissible?
It is permissible.
Alright, the first question sister has is, she says, I have a cat at home. When I read namaz, she sits on the musalla or sits in front of the musalla. When I close the door, she scratches the door and cries until I open the door. I love her so much, therefore I cannot bear to see her crying. She's been doing that since she was a kitten about 2 months old. Does the namaz break by the cat walking in front of me?
No, it does not break. And also, the cat, generally, those who are veterinarians, etc., and those who know about cats, they state clearly that the cat is one of the quite clean animals, and it even goes to pass urine and stool outside the home once it is trained, and it cleans itself extremely carefully and properly. So, movement of cat in front of the person will not render the salat void. In the harams, both harams, you will find a lot of cats.
And the sister makes mention of it as well, Mufti Saab. She says further that when reading Quran, my cat sits on my laps. Is it permissible? I know they are park animals, as I've seen plenty of cats in the Haram in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. So Musa, when reading Quran Kareem, the cat sits on her lap, is this permissible?
You should discourage this action, however, because that perhaps the cat decides sooner or later to jump upon the Quran Kareem. And because there is a very little distance between the lap and the Quran Kareem. And if you get the cat accustomed to sitting right near you, touching your body, then it will feel comfortable and secure. Basically, I see what is happening here. The cat is afraid to be away from whom the cat has attached itself to.
Right.
So by bringing the cat close by, inshallah, then it will be comfortable for the cat and one can read the Quran.
Alright, JazakAllah. And the final question she has is, does spewing break the fast, Mufti Sahib?
Vomiting, we have explained initially that if it is voluntarily, purposefully, qasdan, amadan, intentionally, whether it is mouthful or not mouthful, will break the fast. And if it is not voluntary and purposefully, then no amount will break the fast, will render the fast void.
Yeah.
Let me just explain that here again, that if you purposefully take out the vomit, then with small quantity or large quantity will break the fast. And if large or small quantity comes out involuntarily, then it will not break the fast.
Alright, JazakAllah. Coming to the SMS question, we have the one being saying, what is the punishment for a woman who covers her entire body, but the clothes she wears is tight? What does the hadith say about that?
This is tantamount to be very contrary to the law and spirit and text of hijab. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated concerning these types of women, he stated that the sign of the hour will be when females will be dressed but naked. And this refers to wearing of transparent clothing, which also appears in the hadith, and also of tight fitting clothing, which also appears in the hadith. Unfortunately, that many wear clothing which are attractive and display the body shape and contours of the body, which is completely against the spirit of Sharia. And the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon those ladies who dress and go out to attract others. Also, we must know something, that to wear hijab and use kufar branded names, and these branded names are even sold in the blessed places of Makkah and Medina, and these branded names of hijab have got crosses on them, and they take them into the haram while wearing those abayas and those that libas which have got these branded crosses on them. So a person has to be dressed so that no body shape and contours are visible, and also no crosses are on the garb.
Alright, JazakAllah. To the listeners, the time now is 23 minutes past 10 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. We have commenced the question and the answer session with Mufti Ilyas Saab. And if you have any questions, the SMS number is 082-580-8070. It's 082-580-8070. And the studio number is 011-8541548. Maulana Peter, inshallah, will type the questions on the screen, and the questions will be directed to Mufti Saab thereafter. Mufti, the second question from the listener was, does Mufti Saab know what madhab are the imams of the harams, and can a Hanafi make intention to follow them?
The haram imams, they are humbly, because most of the haram imams serve as judges in the local courts of Makkah and Medina, and the humbly jurisprudential school of thought is exercised and executed as far as the hudud and crimes of the country.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question is it permissible to use the bank's money where they offer 2 months interest free?
If they give you interest-free money and the amount is fixed, then it is permissible.
All right. The next question is for our Qadha Roza Smriti Sahib. The listener wants to know, must we make Sahri?
Oh, yes. Fasting is normal as any other fast. Whether it be Nafil fast, whether it be Wajib fast, whether it's Sunnat fast, whether it's Faraz Ain fast, whether it's Faraz Ghair Mu'ayyan fast, whether it's specific fast, whether it's not specific fast, whether it's fast due to some fulfillment of a vow or a pledge or a promise, whether it is an optional fast, all these fasts, it is a method of fasting to partake of Sahri. This partaking of Sahri will differentiate our fasting from the fasting of the Ahl Kitab. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated clearly that when you fast, partake of Sahri, three different meals, because that will be acting contrary to the Ahl Kitab, because they do not take the Sahri, the three different meals.
Alright. The next question is on SMS. What is the status of an Imam in Taraweeh who is clean shaven? In the case of Hanafi fiqh, if you come to the masjid and the Imam is clean shaven with pants over his trousers, what is the masala?
That Imam who is clean shaven is a transgressor, is a disobedient fellow, he's a fasik, he's a fajir, and he is basic evil person, he's an evil doer, he is acting contrary to the Sharia. The Quran says, follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, keep the beard. And the four out of four Imams of jurisprudence who have understood the deen, have got insight, foresight, understanding and comprehension of the deen, they say it is haram to clip or shave the beard, and it is wajib, compulsory to keep a beard. It is wajib to have a fish full of beard. Anything less than that will make any Muslim, let alone the Imam, a fasik and a fajr, a transgressor and an evildoer. And to wear the trousers below the ankles is definitely sinful, because the hadiths are too many and numerous stating of the admonition and abominability of putting the trousers below the ankles. Such an Imam should not be an Imam. Imam who shaves, trims the beard should not be made the Imam, should be removed. And the trustees who make such a person the Imam are sinners themselves for appointing such a person. And when it comes to Taraweeh, when you do not have an Imam who is fulfilling the basic Sharia requirements like the beard, then it is clearly stated in the books of jurisprudence that you must get a person who fulfills the qualities of the Imam, even if you have to read a few surahs from Alam Tara downwards, and you will be doing justice when you do that, and you'll be doing gross injustice if you put an Imam who is a flagrant, disobedient fellow, and he is discarding the Sharia. And if you go into that place now, unfortunately you are stuck there, then you will follow that Imam and your Salat will be valid, but definitely according to the unanimous decisions of the Juro Consultants, it is makruh wa tahrim.
JazakAllah for that very good explanation, Mufti Sahib. Is it okay to keep any clothing of a deceased, not to wear it just as a remembrance?
This, although it seems to be a good action, but it is based upon emotionalism and sentiment. And generally, actions which are based upon emotionalism and sentimentalism will definitely lead to innovation and bidah. And sooner or later, the person will lift it up and kiss it. Sooner or later, he will kiss it and hold it to his chest. Sooner or later, they will regard it as honored, revered, and they will not allow people to touch it or wear it and utilize it. So this action will not be encouraged. It can be done for a few days, but after that, please utilize the utensils of the deceased, the jewelry of the deceased, and the clothing of the deceased.
The next question is, Assalamu alaikum, during menses, must women be with wudu to sit on the musalla and make dhikr?
Preferably.
Alright, preferably, JazakAllah. So the next question on SMS is, we come to the computer, it's the first question is, can a Hanafi woman read namaz in the masjid following the Imam?
If the Imam is making intention, making intention that he is going to be leading the Salat for the ladies, then it will be permissible. However, that I must remember clearly that the Hanafi scholars, based upon the Quran and the Hadith, and based upon the amal and action of the Sahaba, highly discourage ladies from attending the masjid. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, who would keep a bucket of pebbles, and whilst he was addressing the congregation, he should throw these pebbles upon the ladies and telling them, indicating to them to go to your homes. The ladies went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and complained to Umar al-Mu'mineen that, O Mother of the Faithful, Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab is doing this to us. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that definitely the times have changed, that if Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, he should also have told you all to stay at home. Now your dressing has changed. Now your way of walking has changed. Now the cosmetics that you put has changed. Now your style has changed. Now your way has changed. Definitely things are changing, and it is better for you to be making the salat at home. Oh, prominent, eminent Sahaba have discouraged ladies for going to salat in the masjid.
Alright, JazakAllah. With some salams, many Muslims work for the various banks. The listener wants to know, is this permissible? Please explain in detail.
As a last resort, ulama ikram have stated that if you are going to be working in the bank, then try to get such a work that does not entail the inserting of interest or the computerization, where you are going to be putting the interest in the account. A teller, for example, will be okay. However, be it as it may, that you will maintain that job and constantly make istighfar, seek forgiveness, and all the time look out for a suitable or alternative. The permissible alternative will be sought all the time by that person, and no sooner he gets one, he should leave the bank and work at another place.
All right. The next question is, salams when in salah, if one needs to pass gas and suppresses it, does it break your salah?
As long as you suppress it and there is no wind discharge, then that obviously will not break the salah. However, to make salah to that condition is makruh, definitely, and one should not suppress the wind, because that is not good for the health. The medical practitioners will agree fully that that action will eventually make a person, if he does it repeatedly, an unhealthy person. So, after terminating of the salah, that person should try as far as possible to try to proceed to the toilet, where he can freely discharge the gas.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question is, for Shafi's Mufti Sahib, is there qiraat in the third and fourth rakat of a four rakat salah?
Obviously, for Shafi's, it is necessary.
Alright, JazakAllah. We go to the next question. It says that, can Mufti Sahib please explain the method of performing witr salah in Ramadan, and when making takbir in the third rakat, should the hands be first dropped or from the falling position make takbir?
Obviously, the witr salat is a normal salat with the first two rakats performed normally with the Surah Fatiha and Surah, and after Atayyat in the first Qaida Ula, the person would stand up and then he will read the Surah Fatiha, the Imam will read Surah Fatiha, followed by a Surah, and then he will call the extra Takbir, and then both the Imam and the Muqtadi will raise their hands, after which they will recite the kunut, and then Allahu Akbar will be said for ruku, and then the third rakat will be completed in a normal manner. Whether now to raise the hands from the position of tying at the waist or letting it loose, I am of the opinion, as I expressed before, that we should let it loose and then pick it up. Why? Because making qiyas on the Eid Salat Takbir. In the Eid Salat, we have six extra takbir. That is saying of Allahu Akbar. And each time, we let the hands loose. So, we seem to get a principle from there that when there is an extra takbir in a salat, then we let the hands loose and then bring it up to the ears. So the extra takbir obviously is in witr, so we should let it loose and then tie the hands.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question is, it says, Assalamu alaikum, respected ulama. A girl who married someone her parents haven't approved of, is her nikah invalid? If not, what must she do?
Nikah is valid. However, to have such a nikah will definitely create domestic disharmony, it will create family feuds, and it will create non-cooperation, and it is highly unadvisable to do such an action, especially in the times of trial and tribulation and depression and anxiety. This action should not be done.
Alright. Can we take out insurance on our cars, Mufti Sam? The listener says, because of the high rate of car theft.
Due to that reason, temporary short-term policy, according to some ulama, will be permissible.
Alright. Is it permissible to... Sorry, Ma'am, for the Mustaf. Is it permissible to read the Quran silently without even moving the lips?
This we have discussed previously, however, to reiterate that there is no such thing as scanning the Quran Kareem with eyes and without moving the lips to recite Quran Kareem. This is scanning system, and I do not think so that will be valid. The person should at least move the lips. Better still, that the person should read so that the person himself or herself is able to hear. And especially if the person is alone in a room, then it is highly advisable to read the Quran audibly so that one is able to master the laws of tajweed and get the maharij right as far as tajweed is concerned by audible recitation.
Right. Is it permissible to refuse the beggars, it says, that come to your door, especially since there are so many and we are uncertain to whether they are Muslim or not?
As long as a person claims to be a Muslim, then we should not doubt it. And irrespective of the number, then instead of giving one person too much or your whole budget, then you can spread it out. Every person will know in Ramadan that my budget for those people who are coming to the door is so much, and they can spread it out. However, that in this time of crime and this time of uncertainty, we should not open the gate or the door for anybody and everybody. Precaution should be taken. And reports have reached us, and I've heard this on the news also on our station, that many times that innocent ladies have been robbed because of people posing as simple beggars and destitute, who eventually turned out to be thugs and robbers. So caution should be taken as to whom you give and how you give and when you give and why you give.
Alright, JazakAllah. If a person gives his wife 3 talaqs while drugged, is it valid? Does the 3 talaqs fall?
Yes. That this falls. If a person is in a state of intoxicants, be it alcoholism or drugs, and he gives his wife talaq, that talaq is valid. And if, for example, the ruling was the other way, then every person who gave 3 talaqs or 1 talaq will go to any mufti and say that I was under the influence of alcohol or I was under the influence of drugs, that's why I gave the talaq. Can you imagine the chaos?
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question is on SMS. Salams, will salat break if the muqtadi recite the qiraat softly with the imam?
The salat of the person, if he's a Shafi, then obviously, according to some Shafi scholars, that is permissible. However, other Shafi scholars say that even recitation of Surah Fatiha, after that, the imam must have a small pause so that the muqtadis read the Surah Fatiha. Now, this will be grossly disrespectful for Hanafis if they have to recite behind their imam, because the Hanafi scholars state the Imam's Qiraat is sufficient for the Muqtadi followers' Qiraat. And the Quran is clear that when the Quran is being recited, that listen to it carefully, attentively, so that Allah is merciful upon you. So it will be grossly and highly disrespectful for the Muqtadi to recite Quran al-Kareem, murmur Quran al-Kareem, whilst the Imam is reciting Quran al-Kareem. But since the Imam is the engine and pulling the coaches, the Muqtadis, the Salat of the Muqtadis will be valid, but definitely not proper.
Alright. And the brothers want to know, the next question is the Iblis married and does he have an offspring?
Iblis, he Shaitan. Remember something, that Shaitan is, you have the big Shaitan, whose name is Azazil. And after him, he has got a lot of offsprings. Offsprings meaning subordinates. And ulama defer how those subordinates came into existence. And there is some strange, weird narrations, or narrations not as far as ahadith, but statements as to how they procreate, etc., which is highly embarrassing even to state over the air. However, their procreation is done very strangely, and whether they have wives, etc., is also questionable.
Alright. The next question via SMS is, Mufti Sahab, salams, how long after the Maghrib Adhan will one's fast become makruh if one does not break the fast immediately?
This depends. Now, for example, that a person, especially nowadays, when if you are traveling, and you are traveling in these vicious east-west ran highways, and for example, you headed towards your locality from central Johannesburg, and you got caught up in one of these highways due to some road accident or road works or unforeseen circumstances, and then you had to delay the opening of the fast. Now, when in that case, when you got a valid Sharia reason and you had nothing in the car to open your fast, and you had to delay your opening of the fast, then the time factor is not taken into consideration, because you got a Shari valid reason for delaying the opening of your fast. However, if you got no Shari valid reason for delaying opening of the fast, then even 5 minutes after the valid time will be classified as makruh.
Alright, JazakAllah. The time is 70 minutes to the hour of 11 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. And the SMS number to SMS your questions is 082-580-8070. And yes, inshallah, let's hope the battery is to last up to 11 o'clock. Is it permissible, or sorry, the studio number is 011-854-1548. Is it permissible to go for a holiday that involves snorkeling, swimming before going for Hajj?
Provided these activities are done within the confines of the Sharia and are done within the dress of the Sharia code and are done in a proper, valid environment, then it is permissible.
And the next question is, Mufti Sahib, can you please tell us the significance of reading Khatme Khaja?
Khatme Khaja, this is a recitation as our research that certain elders have put out certain recitation formula, and they say that by reciting this and after that making dua, then generally duas are accepted. However, we must understand something very, very clearly, that neither it is faras, nor is it wajib, nor is it sunnah, nor is it jurisprudently speaking nafil, not mustahab, but it is a experienced practice of the pious predecessors. So if a person wants to participate voluntarily without any force or duress, then it is permissible. And a person who does not want to participate, then those who are participating should not look down upon those who are not participating. And there should be no calling officially for this activity, because this activity is not sunnah and not proven in the light of Sharia. So there should be no ta'addi, there should be no calling officially, an official organization activity. It should not be a systemized, orchestrated activity. It should, it can be an involuntary call, emergency to do this activity. Also, it cannot be proven that such an activity took place in the masajid in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the Sahaba or the Tabi'in. So this action, if someone put too much emphasis and stress on it and classifies it to be jurisprudentally nafil or sunnah, will be classified by juror consultants as an innovation. However, if it does, if it is done completely on a voluntarily basis, then there is some room for permissibility for it.
Alright, JazakAllah. The next question is, can you read the Tahajjud Salah after Sahri just before the Fajr Salah?
It is recommended in our time to do that, because generally the people, especially the men folk, they get up after the meal has been prepared for Sahri. So the good thing to do will be obviously to get up before Sahri and make Tahajjud Salah. However, if a person cannot do that, then after partaking of Sahri and before the Sahri time ends, to make minimum 2 rakat of Tahajjud Salat, and this will be most valuable, and then to make dua. Dua is generally accepted during that time, that part of the night. Minimum for Tahajjud is 2, maximum 12, and a person should avail of the opportunity, because once getting up for Sahri, the time of Tahajjud still exists.
Alright. The next question is, it says, Maulana, talking about bank clerks, RM1, I run the Forex and Investment Department. Is it wrong to pass interest into non-Muslim accounts also?
Yes.
Alright, JazakAllah. Coming back to the SMS, the next question is, Assalamu alaikum. It's not too clear, but anyway, we come to the computer. It says, a woman is very old and cannot keep Roza. Also, she has no means to give fidya. What must she do?
This would not be only an individualistic case, so the question is of importance and should be understood. And I'm so happy that it has been raised and posed, because unfortunately there are many out there who are weak people and who cannot keep the fast due to valid Sharia reasons, and also they do not have sufficient funding to pay their fidya. They should make istighfar, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and constantly, repeatedly be in the state of zikr and fikr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy will forgive them.
Alright, JazakAllah. The time now is 12 minutes to the hour of 11 o'clock. You are tuned to Radio Islam Media, Moib 155. Listeners, bad news. The cell phone battery just died down. But yes, if you have any questions, the number to call is 011-854-154. I repeat, it's 854-154. We'll start the next question on the computer screen is, a colleague keeps the radio on all the time at work and there is music being played. What is Mufti Saab's advice?
If this is a working environment, and in a working environment, now in our new South Africa, every person has got so-called constitutional rights. So there is the rights of the employer, the employee, the rights of workers and staff, and the rights of co-workers, and the rights of staff in one building. So when there is a staff meeting, this point should be raised up and stated clearly that we as Muslims do not listen to music, and there should be some regulation control upon that transistor, upon those people who are putting the transistor on. If you have got the ability and capability and the voice and the strength to terminate it, meaning put it off completely, then that will be rewarding for you, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will descend upon you. However, in the meeting, if it has been pushed upon you that, okay, we'll reach a compromise, that they are going to put the radio on because they will say it is their democratic constitutional right to have it on, and you then to try to be one who turns a deaf ear, and inshallah you will get accustomed to this and you can train yourself that although it will be playing, that you will not be hearing or listening.
Alright. Is it permissible, it says, for an Islamic radio station to play musical tones on air breaks and news breaks? Please explain in detail.
The station which claims to be Muslim orientated or using the name of Islam and saying that this is an Islamic radio station and plays music in ads, or the ads sound like music, or that in between programs to play ads which have got music, or to have music in their programming, it is absolutely haram, it is absolutely prohibited. And there is no such thing as far as music that there is a second opinion, or there are some scholars who say, oh, there is permissibility of music. That station that claims to be Muslim or Islamic and plays music is definitely not a Muslim-orientated radio station, or cannot claim to be propagating, preaching, practicing, or broadcasting Islam in the true pristine purity. Music is haram, and this is unanimous, as in the light of Quran and Hadith. Person can go to our website, alislam.co.za. We have written and translated one book by Mufti Sayyid Abdul Jalid, Sheikh al Hadith of the Ispigo Salimuddin Darul Uloom, Music in Islam, it is called, where the proofs are mentioned why music is definitely haram. And we should make dua that all the radio stations in our country, we are so fortunate in our country that we have got so many stations claiming to be Muslim and Islamic, that they perform to the true spirit of Islam. And one of the basic things is to avoid and shun music.
Alright, JazakAllah, Ameen to the dua. Yusuf, can one keep the six rozas of Shawwal with the niyat of Shawwal in one's qada of Ramadan in one?
I've explained this previously about Shawwal and qada, that if a person has got qada roza, then the person should keep the qada roza first, qada fast first. And if they remain time in the month of Shawwal to keep the six nafil. Qaza is higher in status than nafil, and the combination of nafil plus nafil is permissible, not qaza plus nafil. Even in salat, a person cannot combine the niyat of wajib and nafil, but can combine the niyat of nafil tawbah, nafil hajat. So combination of nafil is permissible, but not combination of nafil plus wajib or nafil plus qaza. So the fast cannot be kept, one fast cannot be kept with a double niyat of qaza and nafil. The nafil shawal fast, however, also, it is not necessary for you, for one to keep it all at one go. It can be kept separately. Keep one, miss few days, keep another, and so on. Yes.
All right. When someone is sick, people tend to have khatam, the listener says, is this permissible? And if so, what khatam if recommended, Mufti Sahab?
Just for example, that a person who is sick and allowed to make khatam, that is not proven. Yes, on a dying bed of a person, then it is permissible and proven to recite Surah Yasin. But when a person is dying and now to make khatam and to make khatam of Quran al-Kareem, that is not proven. Why it has to be made and khatam of Quran al-Kareem has not been proven. Dua, make dua, give charity, and feed the needy, destitute, help the poor, do some good actions. Now, individually, if you want to read Quran al-Kareem in your house, and then subsequently make dua, that is permissible. But to organize something that was not organized before, to set up something that was not set up in the best of times, and to do something which is not proven in the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, then why must we do it? We can individually read Quran at home, it's a good action, and then make dua for the person who is dying.
Alright, JazakAllah. Michelle, the woman says, if a woman is not ready for children, as a couple is newly wed, and contraception is not permissible, what can be done?
Is that a question or they're giving me a fatwa?
It's a question. Question and fatwa.
Yeah, they said the problem, they gave the solution to the problem, and now they want the Mufti to add to the difficulty. First of all, when they are newly married, they just made one decision on their own that they are not ready for children. Why they got married for? What they got married there for? And hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is clear that on the day of judgment, I will be proud of my ummah because of their numbers. Hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that marry a woman and choose the one that can bear many children. And how you will do that? Look at her mother, her sister, etc. That have they got many children? Then inshallah, the one you marry will have many children. Now the Shariat is saying have many children. And the question here is saying, no, we're not ready. When you will get ready? When the Mahdi comes, perhaps then you get ready. Well, first of all, this is completely un-Islamic. That to have such a concept that, no, I cannot have children now, and I am waiting. So when they rephrase, we will give another answer.
All right, JazakAllah for that answer, Mufisab. 3 minutes to the hour of 11 o'clock. The next question, Mufisab, is what is your view, Mufisab, on the adhan over the loudspeaker, especially Fajr time?
This is permissible, and it will depend how loud upon the environment and upon the people around. And alhamdulillah, that in our country, that as soon as you explain to the non-believing, non-Muslim society and locality that why we have to give the azan and why we have to give it aloud, then when we explain the dynamics of it, and we explain the importance in the light of Sharia, and when we explain the need and necessity of calling the azan, and any reasonable person will say that go on, give the azan. And there is no community which is reasonable that objects to the azan being given loud over the mic, especially during Fajr, and especially in our country when people are now realizing that it is far better to get up early. And when you get up early, they themselves have realized that there is khair and barakah in getting up early, and many of them who are orthodox in their religious faith, they also get up very, very early. So the people who say no, that the azan should be low and low toned and soft, etc., they suffer from impurity complex. However, if there is a locality that is truly objecting to it, then to tone it down to the legal, governmental sound syllables, or what you call, they've got technical terms, wavelengths of it, then that will be permissible. You are doing it so that you conform to the governmental legal law implications which have been stipulated by them. Then it will be permissible for Muslims to tone it down. But when there is no objection, then do not tone it down.
Alright, JazakAllah. So the last two questions for tonight's program is, the listener says, for Hajj Badal, must we wear our ihram from the time we reach Makkah till the end of Hajj?
No, alright. The Hajj Badal, it depends now if the person making the wasiyah. If the person making the wasiyah says, no, I want the person who, the ma'mur, the person who is going to go and make the Hajj Badal, that he has to be in the state of Qiran, make the Qiran Hajj, then if there is a specific stipulation, then the person will have to make the Qiran Hajj. But in most cases, when there is a Nafil Hajj Badal, then the person making the Nafil Hajj Badal can make the Tamattu Hajj.
Alright, so the final question is, can Zakat money be used for Hajj?
If a person is one who is worthy and deserving of receiving Zakat, and you give that person zakat money without the precondition that he must go for Hajj and without the pre-stipulation that he must go for Hajj, then, and when you give him that money and he goes and perform Hajj, then that case it will be permissible. But do not turn and twist his arm that I'm going to give you zakat money on the precondition that you will have to go and make Hajj. There is no distribution of zakat when it is linked to a precondition.
Alright, Jazakallah so much for your help, for your time, for your dedication, for your commitment in helping all, in answering the questions and the doubts. And Alhamdulillah, many masa'il were answered, thereby clearing many minds.